In the Moral Maze this evening, Michael Burke examines the moral issues behind this story in a live debate. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. And in a moment, stand-up Jeff Norcott looks at how men feel during pregnancy, from the blur on a screen that confirms it's happening to 9 months down the line when it arrives. It's an expectant father's meeting in the Working Man's Club next.
New drama on BBC Radio 4.
The Severn are some of the most dangerous rip currents in the world. Many souls have been lost to these waters.
Starring Jason Hughes.
They were right there in my net, like a gift from God.
We have to go to the police now.
He's right there. You want to see me angry?
The past can pull you under.
I think she's still alive.
I got tired of the missing posters, day after day, just endlessly reliving that my mum had disappeared.
Severn. Listen on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds tomorrow afternoon at 2:15.
Now, on Radio 4, we head to Leeds, where Jeff Norcott wants to talk about modern masculinity in his stand-up series, where this week he asks, how do men deal with pregnancy?
This is Jeff Norcott's Working Men's Club. It's a metaphorical Working Men's Club, but we still have rules. Never order cocktails, ignore the sticky floor, and any crisp more sophisticated than prawn cocktail should not be consumed on the premises.
Okay, this is just a quick message for everyone in the room. Tonight we're going to be discussing serious subjects relating to the male experience and, from time to time, referencing actual feelings. Now, if all the emotional talk gets a bit too much, I understand, and we've provided a quiet space at the back of the room where all you can hear is elbow songs, yeah. and speeches from the miners' strike, so hopefully that'll be... In this series, I'm exploring the issues facing modern men in an environment where men used to find friendship and support. Plus, just like a real working men's club, occasionally I'll throw in manly hypotheticals when it gets a bit tense. Such as, what was the best dress war?
Napoleonic. Oh, got to be.
It has to be. Why does it have to be?
Well, technically they needed to have bright colours so they could see the troops on the fields and manoeuvre them correctly, but... they look cool, didn't they? They did look smart.
I just try to think of how many thousands of hours of podcast content you have consumed. Making up excuses to walk the dog so you can listen to another 2 hours just about day four of the Napoleonic Wars. But you like bright colours. I see, is that a salmon-coloured top you're wearing today?
Yep.
So in some ways you've carried on the spirit of the Napoleonic Wars. Anyone else? Best dressed war?
Well, it's got to be the Second World War. The Germans, where Hugo Boss did their uniforms.
Yeah, but you remember this is Radio 4 now. but were still really awful people, but amazingly dressed.
Hugo dressed well.
The black and the white and the red, are you kidding? Slay. And then just finally, we've got...
I was going to say Hugo Boss as well.
You were going to say Hugo Boss as well. OK, so, yeah, I think a lot of people say the Second World War. Now, at the end of the show, we'll offer that most manly of things, which is unsolicited solutions to a minister for men, should the position ever exist. I should remind you that we're recording this in Yorkshire, the spiritual home of men not saying a great deal. Yeah, where taking something for your anxiety just means having an extra sugar in your tea. I'm not saying that men from Leeds never cry, just that 90% of the tears shed by men in this region have been at Headingley. Yorkshire's the kind of place that watched the film Up and thought, that house has lost its value sailing into the air like that. What's he doing? It's absolute madness. And it should be called Up. One of the consequences of men's limited verbal exchanges is we don't articulate what it really feels like to be a bloke. I think we could say more, but equally, I don't want to be like my mum, obsessing over whether yet another ridiculously long anecdote happened on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Well, I'm just trying to work out who died. However, the net effect is that some of the bigger events in our lives can go largely undiscussed, like becoming a dad. I use the word become a dad because there's often a sense that the bloke is a bit of a sort of junior partner in that decision-making process, right? A bit of a passenger. Your job is to stand supportively next to the main person and occasionally get blamed for stuff, right? A bit like Nick Clegg.
Have you ever actually heard a bloke talk in detail about what it felt like knowing he was going to become a father? Whether the need to provide for another human gave him clarity and purpose? Or whether the clarity was that he was shitting himself? And the purpose was to live in Chile under an assumed name. We've all thought it, right? Yeah, lads, hey? All right, fair enough. I was always conscious of the challenges involved in becoming a dad, because my generation of men weren't that far down the road from dads who'd happily leave their kids in a pub car park while they got pissed, right? And occasionally they come out with a Coke, right, wouldn't they? They come out, you're right, there you go, boy. You sip it, boy. You sip it, you sip that Coke. You're like, mate, how about you sip it? Maybe if you sipped it, we wouldn't be getting evicted. Now, and I also know, right, that up north, that sounded like a bit of a humble brag, didn't it? You're going, cook? Real, that would be Bunder Pops if we were lucky. A lot of my dad's generation didn't expect to play a massive role in their lives, right? They hoped that fatherhood would be a bit like being a sub coming on in the 93rd minute. You ideally go nowhere near the action, but enjoy the applause at the end with all the players who actually played in the game, a bit like the dad version of the John Terry full kit wanker. Chelsea slamming Leeds, come on. The experience of motherhood is much more widely chronicled. We have thousands of mummy bloggers and mummy diaries. There just aren't as many dads doing the same thing, are there? I mean, if I'm honest, in my unreconstructed mind, if a bloke told me he was a daddy blogger, I'd instantly become suspicious. It sounds like code you'd use on a sex app, doesn't it? By the way, I do freeways, toys, and I'm a bit of a daddy blogger. I also grew up with my mum as the dominant figure in my life. She was fiercely loving, but very eccentric. And when my parents were getting divorced, she became even more protective of what was happening in my life. And at school, I was getting in trouble more often than usual, with one teacher in particular. My mum was very concerned. One day, after morning assembly, right, I went back to the class and I was in trouble again with this teacher. Now, I might have deserved it, but a short way into that telling off, out of a cupboard in the corner of the room appeared my mum. I don't know what happened. She must have at some point decided to embed herself in there like some sort of maternal sniper. And she walked over, she grabbed the teacher by the wrist and said, "You, my girl, are coming with me and see the head teacher." And she frog marched her out of there, right? And I was left with this class of kids just staring at me, just eyes wide, mouths open. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Mess with me, mad women appear out of walls. So I think I will be taking the class hamster home forever. We view motherhood and fatherhood through different prisms. When I googled books on becoming a mother, the first title which came up was called Beautiful Chaos. When I googled for books on becoming a father, the first title was New Dads, A Survival Guide. Survival. I mean, the only way you could even pitch blokes a book on that subject was by making it sound like a Netflix show with Bear Grylls. I'm in a real pickle here. The missus told me to get some sterilising tablets for the baby's bottles. However, all I've been able to find is some limestone and a thimble full of monkey's piss. But I'm going to tell her it works just as well. Wish me luck. Being a mother is celebrated in a way that being a dad simply isn't. Even the word dad can be a pejorative, right? You think of all the time that word acts like a prefix to something crap. Dad rock, dad dancing, dad jokes, dad bods. Sorry for pointing at you, mate. I mean, can you imagine, you try suggesting someone has a mum bod. Yeah, that cough said everything. That's the cough of ending up in front of HR, isn't it? We only have to look at Mother's and Father's Day cards, right? Mother's Day cards are all, thank you for being so amazing. Thank you for making me amazing. You gave me life then, you give me power now. Father's Day cards are, have a drink on me, you bellend, with a picture, inexplicably, of a golf club and a 1950s sports car. Always. It's even considered weird for men to actively like kids, right? A couple that we know, they're having a kid, and my wife was on the phone to the missus the other day, and she said to her, oh, my God, when we have that baby, right, I'm coming straight round, I'm going to come round, I'm going to hold that baby, I'm going to touch him, I'm going to smell him. I love the smell of babies. And I thought, I couldn't say any of that. Could not say, imagine that. Dave, sorry, Cole. It's just I want to let you know, mate. When you have that baby, I'm coming straight round. Yeah. I'm coming round and I'm going to hold him, Dave. I'm going to hold your baby. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to smell him because never really told you this, Dave, but I love the smell of babies. Not only is that guy not going near a baby, he's not going anywhere near a school.
But fatherhood is a big subject, so today I'd like to narrow our focus to the very first stage of that journey, pregnancy and men's experience of it. Now, I realise there might be a few women who narrow their eyes at the idea of me, a man, talking about the male experience of pregnancy. It's a bit like Rishi writing a book called How to Win an Election. Little fact, we were recording this 2 weeks before the election, and that won't need to be cut. So, let's be clear. I'm not remotely saying that the challenges men experience during pregnancy equate to women's, right? Being freaked out by seeing your baby kick is in no way equivalent to a tiny human elbowing you in the spleen, right, ladies? Yeah, pretending men can truly empathise is like watching a World War II documentary and thinking you understood what the D-Day troops went through. I mean, we also do that, let's be honest. As men. We're already aware that even the male contribution to conception is minimal compared to women actually carrying and giving birth to the child. The average length of sex, including foreplay, is around 16 minutes. And 12 of those are the man assuring her this kind of thing never usually happens. Another thing, right? Clearly men are lying, but 16 minutes is the best that they could come up with. And also, that sounds suspiciously like the duration of half time, doesn't it? Just saying. I think a lot of the parental status gap between men and women comes down to our understanding of biology. So let's look at sperm. It's not looking. Just let's think about it. All right. Sperm underlines the stakes we're playing with. On any given day, men are carrying around the potential to repopulate an entire continent, which might explain why we walk a bit faster, right? That kind of potential, you need to get a wiggle on. Women, on the other hand, are born with all the eggs they'll ever have. So straight away, it's like two people walking into a casino with entirely different odds. The sperm guy, he can afford to splash the cash. Where? No, don't. Wasn't meant like that. He can do it wherever he likes, knowing that the odds are ever in his favour. The egg person, however, has much lower stake money. Plus, there will come an age where the casino simply stops paying out. Right? However, to balance this analogy, the male gambler, he may well be still playing roulette into older age, but he might need someone to spin the wheel for him. And even then, we'll suddenly fall asleep. Our biology might be why so many women still think men should lead the way in courtship. That image of multiple sperm trying to break into an egg is a metaphor for loads of idiot blokes chancing their arm. And the one which eventually succeeds might not even be the best sperm, but the one which triumphs through perseverance, or because all the other sperm combusted and swam in the wrong direction. A bit like the Tories. Even in antenatal classes, the main message is the total irrelevance of men. And when the child is eventually born, you're encouraged to comfort it by recreating similar circumstances to the womb. Swaddling, white noise. But there's absolutely nothing about leaving the baby on the couch with piss-poor posture and no strategic use of cushions, right? That's what a real man would do. I sat in those classes and I made a plan to level with my son the moment he was born. Son, I'd say, it's time to get over the womb. That's done, that's gone, okay? You're hanging on to the past, mate. This is the real world, my little friend, with mortgages, arguments, and big shops at Tesco's. On second thoughts, can I get back in there with you? Actually, I can't wait for my son to be old enough for me to pass on the true secret of fatherhood. And that is, when you're looking after your own kids, don't call it babysitting. Yeah? Don't call it baby. Well, not in front of your wife. Now, despite all that, the moment the child's born, we have the exact same legal liability for its welfare. So what's going on upstairs in the run-up to that moment? So that's quite a big question, I'm aware. So a quick, manly hypothetical. Would you rather have a beer named after you or a sex position?
Beer.
Okay, why is that?
Well, think about it. More sex positions have been named, so it's got to be pretty dirty to be named after you.
Oh, that sounded right mucky. Yeah, that's a good answer. Have we got anybody else?
Beer.
Beer, why is that?
Because I have children and I don't want them to do the sex position named after me.
Yeah, I mean, fair point. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
The guy there, what's your answer?
Well, it's going to be beer again.
Okay, going to be beer.
How many sex positions can you have in one night and how many beers can you have in one night?
Oh, very good. Well, I mean, I'm 47, so the answer to the first one is 0 or 1. The answer to the second question is 7.
Exactly.
In truth, there are quite a few beers that do sound like sex positions. Beaverton Neck Oil. Old Peculiar. Cronenberg 66. Doesn't sound anything like... Sounds more like a revolution. A waggle dance?
Yeah.
Are you from like a really remote bit of Yorkshire?
Bishop's Finger.
Bishop's Finger, there you go. If in doubt, pun it out. The first moment... What's that, mate?
Hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin? Okay. You know, I should move on with the gig at this point, but I know that there's loads of men going, all right, think, damn it, think. Sex positions, beer, come on, Foster's, doesn't work. No, another one. The first moment you find out you're going to become a parent... gear change... The first moment you find out you're going to become a parent is ostensibly the same for both of you. It's a pregnancy test conducted while sitting on a toilet. Now, you'd hope in our advanced technological age that when it comes to finding out something so magical, we'd have invented something a bit nicer than pissing on a stick, right? Why can't it be Bluetooth and linked to Spotify with an appropriate song, like, Oops, I Did It Again, or I Would Do Anything For Love, But I Won't Do That. A positive pregnancy test creates an immediate responsibility for men. Given that she'll carry the child, you have a greater need to support her emotional state. You have to react the right way. We've all seen the sitcom moments when a guy sees that positive test and goes, game over. You can't say that, right? I remember an episode of Made in Chelsea, right, where JP and Binky, but by the way, these people's names are the only reason I watch the show. In the current series, there are characters called Muffin and Vanderpump. Which sound like they're running in the 315 at Haydock. Anyway, Binks, right, she tells her girls she's pregnant and they immediately go up several octaves. There's hugs, kisses and flappy hands. Then they cut to JP breaking the news to his pals and there is nothing, right? They literally hold a minute's silence. It's brilliant. Even though the world would be a person up, all they're hearing is man down. Or maybe they're just waiting to hear if he's still allowed to go to Marb's for the phone parties. The strange thing is that some men still think having a child is going to stop their life rather than enhance it, because we don't know the awkward truth. In an ideal world, women would rather we had nothing to do with raising a child. Yeah, because they know that most men are into it for a while, then lose interest. Like the keto diet or getting a tropical fish tank. So you don't want to be... You don't want to be that guy reacting badly to the news, but equally, you don't want to be too happy until you know where she's at, right? It won't go down well. She's not even decided if she's ready to have a kid, and you're already knitting a little cardi going, what's the feminine of Jeff? Jeff Arena? Jeff L? Or simply spelling Jeff with a J? No offence to Jeffs with a J, but you're not right, and I'd put you all on a watch list. Just felt Jeffrey Boycott on my shoulder there going, too right. We got any Jeffs with a J in? You're right to stay silent. You might also have natural anxieties about what could go wrong at such an early stage, but of course you don't say that. It's your job to be strong and confident. However, she may well verbalise those exact fears and you have to act like you totally know the drill and say, yeah, it'll be fine. Start knocking on her belly and listening like a brickie checking a cavity wall. Now, you might feel instantly terrified, on the other hand, and give her a hug so rigid she already thinks you're trying to make another one. You also might not feel anything at all, in which case it might be one of those moments where clichés come in pretty handy. I can't wait to be a father. I'm so ready to raise a child with you. You can't judge a pitch till both teams have batted on it. Because you're emotional and the news broke during a test match. If you are finding the whole thing a bit abstract, the first scan could be a good opportunity to get your head in the game. It's the first time you get to see the miracle of the life that you've helped create. And that miracle looks suspiciously like the kind of picture you'd see on the telly in the 80s, right? A part of you wants to hang the aerial out of the window or put it next to the family member with the most dental fillings. Again, it's best to follow her lead during this time. Even if she said, look, he's waving, and you're fairly sure they don't have fully formed arms at 7 weeks. And she's actually looking at CCTV. With our often literal and visual minds, one thing which can help men is the advent of 3D scans. 3D scans are a game changer, and also really weird. It's like you're seeing something you weren't supposed to, like when you accidentally catch a glimpse of them preparing food at McDonald's. Never let light in on magic. The trouble is, the increased availability of scans means the full enormity of what you're about to undertake hits you at a much earlier stage. In the old days, you could pretend nothing was happening right up until the maternity suite and she's yelling, the gas and air's for me! However, 3D scans are also a bit open to abuse, especially in the age of deepfakes, right? What's to stop them doing all sorts of tricks with the image on screen? The answer is nothing. In early 2023, on Saturday Night Takeaway, a father went for a 3D scan with his pregnant partner. They had an actress playing the sonographer, and they created a fake video where the baby pulled various gestures, including waving to him, rock and roll guitar hands, and a short game of peekaboo. Now, as much as I'm sympathetic to this fella, right, I'm also thinking, at what point would he have copped on that it was a blag? The baby doing star jumps? Or doing a quick game of rock, paper, scissors? I'm sorry, but if you're that gullible, I'm not sure you should have kids. His missus will probably have to break the news about Santa twice. But this was still that poor bloke's first time seeing what he thought was his child. And in an age where we acknowledge PTSD, how will that affect him going forward? He'll either struggle to bond with that child or only acknowledge it when Anne and Deck are giggling in the next room. Whenever men's realisation dawns that they're going to be fathers, whether it's pregnancy tests, scans or being a laughingstock on ITV, many will start to experience the first knockings of one of the key pillars of manliness, the need to provide. Provide and protect are the two big ones for fathers, right? If dad's had a football club crest, it would be written somewhere in Latin, along with garden and avoid. And deny, deny, apologise. The first time we were pregnant, I could feel that a lot of women looking, oh, we, was it? Really? The first time my wife was pregnant and I was Nick Clegg-ing it, I started to experience that exact fear over the responsibility of providing. Although being a bloke, I didn't actually know that was how I felt. All I was aware of were anxiety dreams of an HSBC bank being swallowed whole by a 60-foot baby who then cried because it wanted more. Absolutely no idea what that meant. I knew my anxiety was higher than usual, but I tried to brush it off and I took to the stage for the gig as normal. Then I experienced a moment of standing vertigo, which led to a panic attack, which led to me spiralling and imagining a future where I lost my bottle, could no longer work, couldn't provide, and I had to live out my days alone, and was struggling to see my giant baby. I didn't know how seriously I took the providing thing, so the moment there was any sense of jeopardy around my ability to perform, it set off a chain reaction of core fears. Okay, we're going to do a quick manly hypothetical. Who would you rather punch, the insurance meerkat or the Microsoft paperclip?
The Microsoft paperclip.
Explain.
The insurance meerkat, there's worse insurance adverts, particularly the insurance opera singer.
But he's a real person and we can't punch
but,
him.
Yeah, but watch it. When you're writing a Word document, the last thing you want, because it's frustrating enough, is being hassled by the Microsoft paperclip.
It looks like you're answering a question on a Radio 4 comedy show. Does he even exist, the Microsoft paperclip, anymore?
He's gone. He got the.
He got murdered.
Yeah.
Just somebody.
Someone punched him.
Someone punched him. Yeah. Quite. Is anybody go for the meerkat? Yeah. You want to punch the meerkat?
Yeah, I do.
What? Why would you punch the meerkat?
Well, it's because he's a tosser.
Simples. Thank you. I mean, it was there to be here. I had another wave of parental panic when I did my first live at the Apollo. First, you know, just... There was only one other, but, you know. I suddenly became obsessed with the idea that I was going to fall over on stage or shit myself. Basically do something my career would never recover from. And if you go on YouTube and you watch that first appearance, you'll see a man walking the stage cautiously like he's on the deck of a ship while battling savage diarrhea. Yeah. My ass cheeks were pinched so tightly you could have parked your bike overnight. And I've still been there in the morning. During the second trimester, a lot of information started to come at me. In one antenatal class, they informed us dads, somewhat grudgingly, that in the early days, the baby would resemble us very closely. I smiled, pleased to be finally getting some positive dad info. Then she said, it's an evolutionary thing so you don't smash it against a wall. Now, I know I don't seem like the most evolved bloke, but I'd like to think I'm a bit more evolved than that, right? That my wife wasn't desperately dressing my child in polo shirts, you know, and drawing a widow's peak on him in the hope I wouldn't drop kick him out of the window. I was also harbouring a fear that I might pass out in the delivery room, which people assured me was okay, but that should only happen in sitcoms, right? That shouldn't happen in real life. And I wouldn't have even passed out because of the blood. It would have happened because we were going private and they charged by the hour. But here's the good news, chaps. I was okay in the delivery room. Yes, I got very bored and strongly believed that someone should have suggested I have a nice nap or maybe rewatch the 2005 Ashes. But crucially, I was there. And when my son appeared and drew his first breath in the form of a cry, I involuntarily said, oh God. Now, this is a serious point. Does any man here want to share his first words or thoughts on becoming a father? It doesn't have to be serious. It could be whatever you like. There's a gentleman in the front. What did you feel when your child was born?
That my wife had broken my hand.
She'd broken your hand?
She was gripping on so tight to my hand.
Broken it? Like, literally?
Not literally, but it felt like that.
Crushed your hand?
Yep.
Did you mention that?
Yes.
Do you feel like maybe she was in more pain and maybe it could have waited?
I feel she was trying to share a little bit of the pain that she was in.
Yeah, it sounds like it was very... How generous of her to just so you knew how she felt. That is what empathy really is in many ways. I love the idea of you having a circle wrap back round to A&E. And that's cool. Okay, any ladies want to share any impressions here, either of what they felt or what they sensed that their husbands were thinking? We've got a name here.
When our son was born, my husband said, he looks like Yoda.
He looks like Yoda?
Yeah.
That was the first thing he said?
Yeah, he said, he looks like Yoda.
He looks like Yoda?
Yeah.
Terrible idea, that was. I think, if we're honest, that men are actually intimidated by women's capacity to nurture and create life. It's a trump card we can never truly compete with. And I remember when my wife was pregnant, we discussed the photos of her with her bum, because she would take a lot, and that one day she'd be able to say to our son, look, that's you when you're inside your mummy's tummy. I mean, how can you compete with that? I'll tell you how. If you ever try and for a baby again, every 3 days, take a photo of your balls, right? Date it, time it, put it on the wall in the garage, right? Create a whole cross-reference grid system, and then when the child is born and gets to his, I don't know, 10th birthday, say, happy birthday, son, you're coming with me to the garage. And then you can index it back to the exact date, and you can say, look, son, look at that photo there. That was you when you were inside your dad. Happy birthday, son. So, much like going to the doctors, pregnancy is a concept most blokes aren't really prepared for. So we need to plot men up to make them better prepared. So here are my end of show solutions for a minister for men should the position ever exist. Start subtly pushing videos of labour into the social media algorithm of men in their late 20s, but have sports commentators crediting the actions of the father. Look at him staying up top there. Brilliant stuff there from Graham, eh? You do not want to go south of the demilitarised zone in this room, let me tell you that much. Wonderful hand-holding by Mark there, but look at his face. He never needed that index finger anyway. Make nappy changing a timed event to give it the feel of a Formula One pit stop, except with less black shit everywhere. Or more. Have buggy races like those Red Bull pageants. Oh, this McLaren stroller can get 4 miles to the gallon of milk. Include the dad in the news. You do the news afterwards, right? Mother and baby are doing well. Also add, mother and baby are doing well, but the dad is bewildered and looks like he's been hitting the bollocks with a medicine ball. Encourage more men to go to a soft play area as part of their stag do. That way, when they're traipsing around with their toddler, they can reminisce about that time Gary vomited in the ball pit. Finally, put small toys all over the floor of every gym and convince men that putting them away 50 times a day is great for core strength. Anyway, as my dad often said, that's enough from me, I'll get your mother. This has been Jeff Norcott's Working Men's Club.
Jeff Norcott's Working Men's Club was written and performed by Jeff Norcott. The producer was Ed Morris, and it was a peer production for BBC Radio 4.
And there's late night comedy on Radio 4 tonight when the Perthshire farmer and comedian Jim Smith is back with more tales from the land. There are lambing nightmares, runaway collies and gassy cows on tonight's edition of Me and the Farmer at 11 o'clock.
Desert Island Discs on BBC Radio 4.
Sometimes it's the unexpected stuff that gets captured. Almost always ends up being the stuff that you see in the movie trailers because it's one of the best jokes.
With new castaways, including Rebel Wilson, Rob Delaney, and the novelist David Nichols.
I think it's very hard to write about happiness and contentment.
Plus, the boxer Anthony Joshua shares the music that inspired his journey all the way to the top.
It's hard because I'm trying to be a professional boxer and be the best I can be, but yet I'm still trying to be the same guy that grew up with all my friends and stuff.
Desert Island Discs with me, Lauren Laverne. Listen on BBC Sounds.
After the news, Alistair's Drunk with Emotion in The Archers.